The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Welcome to Radio Today's weekly podcast. You join me this week in Brock House, one of the buildings in the BBC's Broadcasting House campus, and named, not a lot of people know this, after its original inhabitants, the Brock Firework Company. Now, I'm not expecting fireworks from our guest, but I hope he can shed some light on developments with the BBC iPlayer, particularly the extension of its radio listening window from 7 days to 30. Andrew Caspari, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for talking to us. You look after the multi-platform output in the speech, radio and classical music areas. So what's in this for the BBC and for its listeners?
Essentially, it's very simple. Up till now, almost all of our programmes on all of our radio stations have been available on demand or for catch-up for 7 days. And as of this week, all the programmes coming in now available for 30 days. So four times as much on-demand content for everybody to choose from as they had before.
It's taken a bit of time to get this organised, Andrew, hasn't it? Have there been tortuous negotiations behind the scenes?
I don't think it's so much tortuous negotiations. I think there are quite a lot of different factors that come to bear when you want to do something like this. So when we started an on-demand service, when the BBC Trust approved the iPlayer and our whole on-demand service, it was based on 7 days. There's always a lot of consideration about this. What is the effect of this on the rest of the industry? Will the audience really want it? How much will it cost? Will all the people who hold the rights to those programmes want us to do it? Independent producers, actors, writers, music. There were a lot of different things that came to play. So essentially, we had to do three things in order to bring this about. The first one was to frame, was this the right proposition? Was this something that we thought audiences would welcome? The BBC Trust needed to consider it because it was a sufficiently big change in things. We wanted to do it for all of the BBC's output or as much of it as we could, so therefore it was radio and television content. We've actually managed to do both of those at the same time, which is great, so it's a really clear message. So then having done that, there was then quite a lot of work to be done around the rights to do it. And then thirdly, it's not a small technical thing to implement. So on the one hand, you say, well, you can flick a switch and say, instead of dying after 7 days, die after 30. That's until you think that you're going to pump, and this is me not being a technologist, you're going to pump four times as much stuff through your pumps as you were pumping before. So quite a lot of different things built on each other. And it's just great that we've got it.
Give me an idea, without going into too many figures, how popular the service has been at 7 days. You know, how many people are downloading or listening again or catching up compared to how many people are consuming live programmes?
Live is overwhelmingly what people do online, and more significantly, it's overwhelmingly what people do with their listening with their box in the corner. So live radio is alive and kicking. But what is also clear is that people's whole media consumption is about people starting to want to order and get what they want for themselves. So if you take something like The Archers, you're talking many, many, many millions of on-demand requests in a year, just for people to want to listen to The Archers. You're talking about some of our comedy output on Radio 4, again, into the millions of requests to listen to that content on demand. With our download podcasting service, you're talking about over 13 million successful downloads of Radio 4 programmes alone in the UK in a single month. So though the overwhelming listening to the radio is particularly music radio, it's a box in the corner of the room. People listen to what we put out, and sometimes they use our devices, they use their tablet or their mobile phone or whatever. We all know this ourselves. And we say, what's on the radio? Oh, good, I can listen to the radio on my tablet. That's kind of cool. But increasingly, particularly around drama, comedy, specialist factual programmes, specialist music programmes, the desire to catch up with these is a growing thing. But it's in the single figures of percentages of listening.
Now, you've had your experience, your share of experience in the past commissioning and scheduling. I was thinking this is going to gradually change the way we deploy the crown jewels, as it were, of our output. Because we normally, when we put a schedule together, we think, well, we'll put that programme there because that's so popular, people will come to it, and then there'll be an inheritance from it to this next programme, which is maybe needing a bit of help. If people are increasingly going to find those big programmes online and on demand, is it going to change the way that you schedule, I don't know, Radio 4, 5 Live, any of those kind of stations?
Well, it's good because I used to have to worry enormously, as you say, as a commissioning editor at Radio 4. We used to worry enormously about should we put this at 10 o'clock or at 10:30 or perhaps that's a little bit too nuanced. I think that's still going to be an important consideration because of what I said before, which is that people want to listen to the radio. They put the radio on and hope that they will find something pleasurable that suits their mood and so forth. I think what we're doing now with iPlayer Radio is trying to create multiple radios for people, trying to make it as easy as possible for people to schedule their listening according to what they happen to want at a particular time of day, what their moment is and what their mood might be at that time. And I think that's quite an important change as well, is to start thinking about what's my mood, what's my need, rather than I think I want a bit of history now. Some of our users definitely do that. But I'm not actually sure that's what most of them do. You know, I fancy listening to something intelligent and factual now. Yes, I want to catch up with the news now. I want something that's going to make me laugh now. And that's my now. And maybe having listened to one thing that's made me laugh, I might more seamlessly want to listen to something else that's going to make me laugh. So I want to build my own stream, or I want the machine, I want iPlayer Radio to build me my own stream of listening to a genre or a mood or a type.
I think
of
it almost as a kind of my radio. It's a kind of my Radio 4. I was talking to somebody the other day who's a graphic designer, and he's not that interested in the news. So as a Radio 4 listener, he doesn't really want The World at One, and he doesn't want PM. So when they come on, he'll go and find some drama or a discussion programme or something else that he's missed at some other time in the week. And that's got to be kind of empowering, I think, for the listener.
Yeah, and the change we've made now is by giving that person four times as many things to choose from at any one time. That's a big change. And at the moment, particularly with things like drama and comedy, we only offer, for a variety of reasons, mainly around rights, we only offer one of those for download or two of those for download at a time. And even the afternoon play, which is one of the most successful strands for on-demand listening, online on-demand listening, there's still only five of those available at once. So you can increase the range of those hugely, and people then can start to schedule their own radio. Now, the technology behind that is one part of it. Can we make that easier for people to find the thing, to play the thing, to set things in order, to build a list? And some of it actually is about building the habit. And part of building the habit is satisfying the need. So having more things that people can do. But yeah, we need to make it easier for people to do it. The linear schedule, though, Trevor, will still be very, very important. The linear schedule's not going away. And indeed, I think that these kinds of changes, and certainly downloading, stands to increase radio listening rather than just replace it. So it does that point where somebody might switch the radio off or might not actually think, the radio's not giving me anything that I want at the moment, so I'll do something else. So it's, oh, well, the radio's not giving me anything, but iPlayer Radio is. iPlayer Radio can give me that thing that I want.
OK, now, talking of simplicity, which you just did, you've called it iPlayer Radio. There's also the iPlayer, which has a radio section on it. There's also, of course, Radio Player, which we know is a BBC and commercial radio joint enterprise. That's a little bit confusing out there in the marketplace, isn't it?
Potentially. Of course, iPlayer now doesn't have a radio section in it. It simply has a thing where you click on radio and you end up in iPlayer Radio. So there's two things going on there. I think what we realised was that the needs of audiences around television programmes, particularly television programmes on demand, but even live viewing of television programmes, and those of radio, it was just getting too difficult to build those within an absolutely identical infrastructure. So what we've done is that sort of classic BBC thing or Anglican compromise or whatever is said, iPlayer to a lot of people means the ability to find stuff I want to find on demand and consume it, and increasingly live as well. Live is more important to radio than it has been to television up till now. That was one of the crucial things. Similarly, networks and their brands more important to radio perhaps than to television. So being able to say within iPlayer Radio, that's where you find the Radio 4 website with all the things that are very specifically about Radio 4 or Radio 2 or whatever, perhaps more important. So what we've done is a sort of delicate drifting apart of the two iPlayer brands while still maintaining the idea that iPlayer stands for something. iPlayer is one of the most prevalent and popular digital brands in the UK, so why shouldn't radio have part of those tunes?
And Radio Player is only live.
Radio Player is the tool with which we work with the whole of the radio industry, comes together and says, if you want to listen to live radio on a desktop, on a device, here's a way that you can get all of the nation's radio stations, and a certain amount of exchange of technology and helper technology has made something possible for listeners to do, to navigate between all the radio stations in the UK. That's no small undertaking, but yeah, I mean, all these things have the word player in them, but I think listeners are intelligent. They'll get the hang of that.
Now, of course, the next step, Andrew, is that you open up the whole of the BBC archive, I think, and of course, I love being able to listen to something that I missed from the last 7 days, and now I've got 30 days. What about if I want to listen to a John Peel show from 1973, or I want to hear a drama from 1987? At the moment, those programmes, which we, the licence fee payer, paid for, are sitting somewhere, and we can't hear them unless they're, well, Desert Island Discs or one or two others that, where you have cleared the whole archive. That would be a fantastic resource, wouldn't it?
It would be a fantastic resource, I think, but I think there's a tiny bit of me, and I've done an awful lot of the work around things like Desert Island Discs and large amounts, particularly with speech radio content, that are now available on demand from the past. I think you've got to balance, that would be a wonderful thing, with how much of that thing people will use, and you also have to balance with it the fact that quite a lot of this content we don't own. So a lot of these programmes were created at a time where nobody could have envisaged these programmes being listened to more than, you know, the origination and the repeat, as it was, two transmissions. And I even remember myself signing off the forms, which were the repeat fee, where every contributor would get their extra whatever percent, nuppence percent it was of nuppence, that we sent them because we were repeating it. And one of the important things in some of those negotiations, and we're even talking, you know, not so long ago, 20 years ago, when you were negotiating a programme or a feature, it would be, you know, are you going to repeat it? Because if you're going to repeat it, then I'll do it because I'll get my repeat fee. And so suddenly to sort of say, well, now actually we're going to give it to everybody forever, is quite a big undertaking. One of the things that we've started to look at is how do people use that archive? And the interesting thing is, how do you curate it? And it's often not around, let's have every edition of John Peel, or even let's have every edition of a Radio 4 strand. You know, the recent work we've done with Woman's Hour has been about picking out some of the gems and curating them in a more active way. And even with some of the, well, we've got the whole of the Reith lectures there. Now that's, in some ways, that's sort of motherhood and apple pie, why wouldn't you? But it's interesting, even the more recent stuff is more consumed than the oldest stuff. And then suddenly comes a moment where a particular, you know, the Bertrand Russell lectures in 1948 suddenly feel incredibly relevant, incredibly important, so you can curate them and bring them to the surface. So I can't promise you that we're just going to dig everything out, because it's actually not ours to dig. The other thing is that it's actually quite a big task to do it.
Yes, I'm sure.
And then you've got to say, well, do we spend the money on that, or do we spend the money and the time on something else? And, you know, we're all in the same business.
At the risk of doing some horrible name dropping, I was just with Bob Shannon before I came to see you, the director of music. Who's even more important than you are, Andrew,
yeah,
which is. And that's difficult.
Well, you can have all the airtime, yes, Bob.
And he was talking about the archive and about curating. And we're talking about, I think, exactly what you're saying, which is you probably don't want every Radio 1 show ever, but what about if you could pull out all the interviews Elton John ever did, or all the programmes that were ever about Iggy Pop, or whatever it is, you know, and curate them in that way, so that you help people who are researching as well as people who just want to listen. That might be a way through.
Yeah, I think all those techniques, you know, Elton John at the BBC, Alan Bennett at the BBC, you know, the Beatles story, those interviews on the Today programme with Margaret Thatcher, these things demand proper editorial, curatorial thought, rather than just simply throwing literally hundreds of thousands of hours of output with program titles and large proportions of which people wouldn't want, and you chuck them all in a hopper and you hope that the algorithm will somehow spit out to people the thing that they most want. I mean, quite apart from anything else, the technical considerations of doing that are probably overwhelming. And would people really want to go there? So taking a carefully curated approach, probably making that stuff link to your current output, that is still your best promotional opportunities. It's either your current output or the zeitgeist that is going to drive people to that thing. And then occasionally you've got things like Alistair Cook. We now have just about every Alistair Cook we've ever been able to find. So we received from two listeners several hundred editions of Alistair Cook that the BBC didn't have. Because that's the other thing about your earlier point. Of course, the BBC didn't keep all this stuff because nobody thought that it would ever be of any use or had the means to keep it. So we suddenly got all these other Alistair. We now have the as complete an Alistair Cook archive as exists. And that's marvellous. That's sort of, you know, that sort of foundation stone kind of, this is what the BBC should be about. And that's great. But you're not going to do that with everything. And it may well be that the audience won't thank you for doing that instead of making all our current output more deliverable, making it downloadable within our apps, making it easier to explore it, making it possible for people to create their own playlists. You've got to line all those things up. You know, we've got a long list on the wall of things that we want to do, and one of them might be every old John Peel show, but we might not get there with all of that.
Well, exciting times ahead. Andrew, thanks very much for talking to the Radio Today programme. Before we go, just tell me, what is your full job title?
I'm Head of Speech, Radio and Classical Music Multiplatform.
They don't get any shorter BBC job titles.
There'll never be another one, I don't think.
Thanks very much indeed. Andrew Caspary, let's take some news now. Here's Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. BBC Music has launched, with the majority of BBC radio stations joining up across the UK for a simulcast of a new song recorded by over 20 artists and the BBC Concert Orchestra. The new song, called God Only Knows, is now on our website at radiotoday.co.uk for you to see and hear. Cool FM is in hot water with Ofcom after making up requests on a pre-recorded request show, whilst the presenter, on the air, appeared in a local nightclub. Let's hope this is the last time we have to report on such a case. And Ofcom has extended the closing date for anybody wanting to submit an application for the second national commercial DAB digital radio multiplex. Rolls off the tongue. You now have until January the 29th, 2015, to submit your application. Good luck. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
100 years of radio. Radio moment.
We start this week 31 years ago and the first commercial radio casualty.
Under the circumstances, the board have no alternative but to cease trading. Ernst & Winnie, Chartered Accountants of Leicester, have been consulted as regards the liquidation and will be calling the necessary meetings of creditors and shareholders. We will now be playing music for you for a short period of time. We hope to give ordinary radio programming output in the very near future. And we hope that a further statement will be issued in the near future.
It's the sound of Leicestershire. Centre Radio.
The end of Leicester's Centre Radio this week in 83. Just a few months ago, Smooth Radio restored its local shows, but it's just 4 years since they disappeared in the first place. This week in 2010, Lynn Parsons kicked off that national Smooth Radio.
Smooth Radio celebrates its national launch today. Welcome, Tom Jones.
How are you?
I'm very well. I was going to say, what's new, pussycat, but I suspect everyone said that to you, haven't they?
No, not always. It's always good.
The start of the original national network, Smooth Radio. And staying with Smooth this week last year, the end of Smooth 70s.
From tomorrow, the best place to get your favourite Smooth 70s songs will be on Smooth Radio.
I really miss Smooth 70s. A station which has recently gone national launched this week in 73. It was LBC, and it was greeted by the then Prime Minister.
The opening today of the London Broadcasting Company's station marks a new departure in British broadcasting. It's the first station of the Independent Broadcasting Authority's local radio service. I'm sure its 24-hour service of news, information and comment is going to be of immediate value to Londoners. And eventually it will be of use to listeners to other stations throughout the United Kingdom.
Ted Heath at the start of LBC this week in 73. And this week, 20 years ago, as LBC's licence wasn't renewed, it was replaced by London News on FM and across on AM.
Good morning, London. This is Brian Hayes, and it's good to be able to say that again. It's 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 5th of October, 1994. Welcome to London News Talk, 11:52 AM, original talk radio. It's a pleasure to be with you for the breakfast programme, which is designed for London. Each morning, we will inform you, entertain you, divert you. In fact, we will equip you for the day ahead. The news and the people who make the news, the most accurate...
Down the road in Birmingham, John Russell was the first programme director of BRMB. And we lost John this week 5 years ago. Here he is, a decade ago now, recalling those early days in the West Midlands.
Rather late in the day, commercial radio was allowed into Britain. And there was this article which named various people who were hoping for a commercial radio license, and I wrote to all of them. None of them were famous apart from one person. It was Huey Green, the imp behind Opportunity Knox. And I wrote to all of them and said I had been working on small radio stations, and eventually I was flown back from Cyprus and offered the same job 3 times.
Memories of John Russell. And that same week, 5 years ago, we also lost a popular pirate presenter who'd hosted just one show on Radio 1.
Hello, this is Mike Ahern on the BBC.
Really?
No, it's absolutely true, on the BBC. But it's very nice to be talking to you again, darling.
And you, madam.
I must say that Radio 1 is going to be the greatest. Don't take my word for it. You just listen. Oh, and as always, from me, DJ Mike, do take care. Lots of care. Bye-bye.
Remembering Mike Ahern. By 1965, the Home Service was seeking to carve out something more of a news agenda. Back then, of course, the Today programme was rather more magazine-y than it is now. So, this week, 49 years ago, enter a tough new lunchtime news programme, The World at One. William Hardcastle was the first presenter.
The leader of the Liberal Party, Mr. Jeremy Thorpe, today put his weight behind an international campaign to publicise the case of the recently arrested Soviet human rights campaigner, Dr. Andrei Chair, honestly can't pronounce this word very well, Chair Dokhlobov. Why is Mr. Thorpe doing this?
Good old William Hardcastle, the first host of WATO, as they call it at the BBC, The World at One, which launched this week in 65. Another long-standing Radio 4 programme began this week in 1954. Any Answers, hosted then by Freddie Griswood.
In view of the apparent world shortage of meat and fats, do you consider that we shall ever again be able to go to the butcher and grocer and order what quantity and kind of meat and fats we require?
Any Answers was a reply programme to Any Questions, and originally listeners were asked to write in by mail, and their comments were read by actors. It became a phone-in 35 years later. Radio Wyvern was an early radio home for Neil Fox, and it launched this week in 1982.
7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this day one of Radio Wyvern. It's grand to be here, it really is. I must tell you, we've got an absolutely sensational reception taking place here at our studios at this time. There must be all of about 100 or more people all tucking into croissant and to Buck's Fizz, and for the uninitiated, that's...
Radio Wyvern launching, drawing its name from the rivers Wye and Severn. 1955 now, and the first Pick of the Pops, which was eventually to lead to the charts we have today. A surprise then maybe to learn that this chap was the first presenter.
Just over the bridge, if you turn right into Winnington Street rather than turning left on the Chester Road, you'll come to one of the old houses I spoke about, which have suffered the slope and the tumble of subsidence. And here I've come to see Mr. Joseph Allman. Mr. Allman, I've come to talk to you because... some very good reasons. I believe you were in the Salvation Army for a good many years and you played one of the instruments...
Franklin Engelman, the host of the first Pick of the Pops, and that show launched on the Light programme this week in 1955. In the early days, commercial radio was almost wholly local, but starting to dip its toe into rare networked programmes, including this one, which began this week in 86.
Around the country on independent radio, this is Beatles Brainbusters with Jeremy Beadle.
Hi, hello. Hello, anybody there? Mr. Beadle here. Good morning. I wish to make a proclamation. During this programme tonight, I will not mention the snow.
Thanks to Andy Walmsley for that clip. Jeremy Beadle with the short-lived Beadle's Brainbusters, which launched this week in 86. This week last year, press coverage and much discussion about the arrival of a new presenter on the Today programme.
The headlines this morning, a new national crime agency starts work today with the aim of rooting out Britain's most powerful criminal gangs.
The arrival of Michelle Hussain on BBC Radio 4's Today programme this week last year. So, with Gem AM launching in the East Midlands 26 years ago...
Britain's first 24-hour-a-day solid gold radio station.
Mark and Lard ending on Radio 1 Breakfast 17 years ago...
The only thing I would say that I want to change is that, you know, I'm really starting the campaign to get Shane McGowan as the replacement for Brian McFadden in Westlife.
Wales opting out of the Home Service this week 51 years ago...
8.15, good morning, Wales.
And the final Egton House BBC broadcast this week 18 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments! Thank you, David. Thanks also to Andrew Caspari. Next week, we'll be at the Radio Festival in Salford. So if you're there, do come along and say hello. Let us know what you think of the event. And if you can't make it, keep up with the debate and the controversy at radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dan. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.